All right, the test. Brother Abe, give me a preposition in Hebrew. This is, by the way, this is a Greek and Hebrew test. A preposition in Hebrew. A preposition. Uh-huh. What is one of the prepositions in Hebrew? Anyone? See, you're first, so I really took it easy on you. What is a preposition in Hebrew? What is a preposition? All right.
Why?
No, what is a... Which? Give me a preposition. Give me a preposition from the Hebrew language. And Sharon, you're going to do it from Greek. And Roger, you're going to do another one from Hebrew. And Pam, you're going to do another one from Hebrew. And Marilyn, you're going to do one from Greek. All right. Blank sheet right now? Sharon. Preposition.
I'm thinking Hebrew. I guess.
Okay, Hebrew. Hebrew.
I know what a prepositional phrase is, but I can't think of it in Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Like a lament would be.
A lament is a preposition. And what does that mean? Lament.
To or from.
To or from. What case is that in? Dative. Dative case. All right, dative case. All right. What is another preposition in Greek?
Mem.
Okay. What case would that be in?
Same thing.
What?
Same thing from?
Oblative. The oblative case. Oblative case. Case of origin. All right. What's another preposition? How would you say in Greek? No. Hold on just a minute. Now, I just want all of you to think together. In Greek.
In.
Okay. In Hebrew, Brother Abe. You got that one. In. What is in Greek? I mean Hebrew. What is that? That's bath. Bath. All right. Bath is a preposition. That's in. And then the Greek preposition is... I'm really having trouble with these things tonight. In. All right. And our English preposition comes right out of the Greek preposition, doesn't it? All right. And we have... How about with? With. There are two prepositions in Greek. That's with. Seen and meta. All right. Seen and meta. What about one more preposition in Greek? I mean in Hebrew. The Greek equivalent to it is... Forget that. What is that Greek preposition? This looks just like English, doesn't it? How about that, Brother A? Can you read that one? Kata, all right. What would be the Hebrew equivalent of kata? Right there. Just like that. There's your Greek equivalent. That's your Hebrew equivalent. What about this one right here? Ta'ashuv. Ta'ashuv.
It's with.
With what?
Them.
With them. Or with them. Or this is a particle of affirmation. This is a particle. A relative particle. Okay? With them. Okay? So we looked at it a little bit. Okay, now how many Greek, how many, not Greek, but how many Hebrew tenses are there? Hebrew tenses. How many Hebrew tenses?
Seven.
We're going to get that down. All right. What is the simple active? Simple active. What Hebrew tense is a simple active?
Call
sim. All right. What is the simple passive? See, we're going about this backwards today. we're going to get you thinking. That's Niphal. Niphal. N-I-P-H-A-L. Niphal. Three. What is the intensive active?
Niphal.
Niphal stem. Or the P-L stem, that is. I'm trying to get over this pneumonia, if I ever do. Somebody came in perfume on this morning. I like to die. That just about put me in the ground. How about the intensive passive? What stem is that? Pual. P-U-A-L. How about intensive reflective? That's hith-pa-l. How about the causative active? That's hithil. H-I-P-H-I-L. And the causative passive, that's hophil. H-O-P-A-L. Hophil. And if you go with katal, that means to kill. The cal stem is he killed. And the nephil stem is he was killed. The pl stem is he killed brutally and violently. The intensive passive puel, he was killed brutally and violently. And the intensive reflexive, he killed himself brutally and violently. And the causative active, he caused to kill. Causative passive, he was caused to kill. That's all from Katal. Any other questions? Did you get some of this?
I need to have a book explaining all that.
Write that down in there. As we go, write it down. Write it down. All right. All right. Besides the preposition lament, in the front of a verb, what does it tell you? What's it do to that verb? Mm-hmm. It turns it into the infinitive many, many times. All right, lament on the front of it. Boy. All right. Let's go to the third chapter of the book of Bereshit and verse number 7. Talking about homemade religion here. Homemade religion. Wat tit pa ka cha na. All right. That's a hard word, isn't it? Wa tit pa chak na. Ane shenehim. Wayadu. Ti erumim. Hem. Wayit peru. Ale. Ti en na. Lahem. Cha. Go Roth. Chaga Roth. Now, let's conjugate this first word here. Now, it's in the Niphal stem. Okay? It's in the Niphal stem. The Niphal. Remember what Niphal is? Remember Niphal? Third person feminine plural, nephel, wow, consecutive and perfect. That's what the first verb here is, wa ta pe kat kak na. Long, long word there. And let's translate it now. And, see the wa on the front of it, that's a conjunction, isn't it? All right. And they, and then the, what do we have in the middle of that tau there, brother, brother Roger?
Doggish.
All right, there's the doggish there. And that makes it what? Makes it hard or makes it double?
Double.
Double. Okay. And how about the pay? What do we have in the middle of that pay?
A little
Another doggish. And what does it do in this hay? It doubles it. Okay. And they were opened. And they were opened. Aine. The eyes, and they were open. And what gender is eyes? Huh?
Feminine.
All right, feminine eyes. Shenihim. And that means both of them. Why you do? Look at that why you do there now. Let's look at that one. Brother Roger, can you tell me a little bit about why you do?
So the word starts with a conjunction and.
All right.
And the verb is yadu, yada, or whatever, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And the shirk on the end makes it possession, or they own it. And so it's third person masculine plural.
What's them?
Cal, vowel, consecutive,
and perfect. So now translate that for me, brother.
They knew and they kept on knowing.
All right, they knew and they kept on knowing. They possessed that knowledge. They knew and they kept on knowing, and they possessed the knowledge. And this is a verb, but if it was in a case, what case would it be in? Because of the possession on the end of it. What case would it be in? Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative. What?
Genitive.
That's right. Case of possession. All right. Now we have a little preposition and demonstrative pronoun here. All right. Key. And that's that. And they knew that, or that, or because. Now look at this here. Erumim. Remember what erumim means? It means vulgar. It means lewd. It means crafty. It means deceitful. It means ill nature. It means corrupt. It means subtle and wise. Defected, corrupted. Foxy, deceitful, all of those things. High-minded.
Say that word again.
Which one?
The one you're just
finding. Erumim. Page 665 in Gesenius. Page 615 in Davidson. Page 736 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. There's a word here in the Greek, it's phronimototos. That's page 1955 of Liddell and Scott. All right, that's a word. Why do we use Liddell and Scott here and not the Thayer or something else? Why do we look at Liddell and Scott? What about Liddell and Scott? Brother Roger, you remember about Liddell and Scott? That's that great big Greek lexicon, a giant Greek lexicon, over 2,000 pages. Okay? More than 2,000 pages of it. Why do we look up in that one instead of the Thayer's? Because Liddell and Scott tells you about every word in the Greek language, profane and ecclesiastical both. Now, remember that the Septuagint, and the Septuagint is what, Pamela? Septuagint. Tell me what Septuagint means. What does Septuagint mean, Brother Roger?
Well, it's the 70, and it stands for the mythological 70 people that got together and recreated the...
they translated
the Old Testament.
Yeah, they translated the Hebrew into the Greek. All right. We know that that really wasn't an inspired bunch, even though, you know what they said, that they went into these cells, two by two went into these cells, and they came out after so many days, and they took and compared the whole Decalogue, the whole five books of Moses, and there was not one differentiation between any of those translations. I do not believe that. Now, you students that are here with Hebrew and Greek, are there mistakes in the Septuagint?
Mm-hmm.
Much mistakes. A lot of mistakes. Okay, so we know that that wasn't really right. Okay? So, I mean, you guys are getting to be pretty good Greek scholars and pretty good Hebrew scholars, and it doesn't take a whole lot to see that there's problems, does it? All right? So we know that this whole story of them coming out with all these same translations wasn't exactly, but it made for good press, so to speak. A lot of things you see in the press aren't correct. Also, prideful, naked, vulgar, high-minded, corrupt, wise to the point of being a con, a deceitful person. A con is a deceitful person, aren't they? What does a con usually do?
Tries to get you to go along with their ideas.
Yeah, and they
giving them money.
Okay, usually they want your money, don't they? It's called, in the old days, it used to be called what? A confidence man. One of my stepdads was a real good confidence man. That's Dale Otto Remling. He was a wonderful confidence man. He could get anybody's confidence and just lead them astray and get their money out of their pockets, usually. Deceptive. All right. They, that's him. That they is what? Basically, that's a third personal pronoun. All right, third person pronoun. What would be in Greek? All right, what would this be in Greek? Ah. Huh? All right, and they became. All right, so it's in the nominative case. It is in the plural. Okay, autoi. I'll help you, autoi. If you want to write down autoi, you can write that down below that, see? Then compare it to your Septuagint. Autoi, that's it right there, autoi. That's what it would be in Greek. They. Now let's look at this other thing. Wayet peru. Let's look at this one now. Let's conjugate this wayet peru for me, please. Let's conjugate this. You know why I'm sneezing so much? I just thought of it. All of those honeysuckle out there are blooming.
Yeah.
That's what's getting me. All right, now let's look at this one. Sharon, conjugate. Why get peru for me? Conjugate that for me. Tell me all about that word.
Third person, masculine. Perfect cow.
Plural.
Plural. Catalog, consecutive, and perfect.
Okay.
So they.
Now tell me about the word a little bit. What's on the front of that word?
It's the
end. Oh, that's a conjunction. That's while. Okay. While on the front of it. Okay.
They sowed for themselves.
Okay.
And they kept on sowing.
And they sowed for themselves and they kept on sowing. Ale. Ale is leaves. And then we have ti and na of figs. Fig leaves. Okay, fig leaves, and we know that that's a very, well, this had to be a very uncomfortable situation here because fig leaves are almost like stinging nettles. And this is what they're going to clothe themselves with. They're going to make breechcloths out of fig leaves. That's got to be uncomfortable. But this is man-made religion, isn't it? This is man-made religion. And why Yasu, and they made. And they made and they kept on making Lahem. Tell me about Lahem now. We have something on the front of that. Lahem. Here we have a third person pronoun. And we have something on the front of it. What's this on the front of this word here? It's not preposition here. What is it?
Infinitive.
It's an infinitive. So we have not infinitive. What is it on the front there? It doesn't make it an infinitive because this is a third person pronoun, but it's got a preposition on front of it.
Well,
all right, so it does what? For themselves. For themselves. And two or four. All right, two or four. Or with or by. For themselves.
Are you looking for instrument?
Dative singular. Oh. All right. Not dative singular, but dative plural here. For themselves. Breech cloths. And this literally means to bend around the waist. Breeches or breech cloths are some type of apron. Okay? In other words, they were covering their genitals, basically, is what they were doing. Okay? So they became ashamed. Before, they were clothed with innocence and glory. Now they have become ashamed. Thieves like to stay in the dark, don't they? When do the thieves usually come out most of the time? After dark. They like the cover of darkness. All right. Let's go on to 3:8. Why yish miu et kawal tall, that is, call. And then we have Hathavar. Elohim. Milhalek. Bagan. Liruah. Hayom. Why it shall be. Ha-Adam. I'm writing this as we go. Weishto. Mipene. Hadabar. Elohim. Betok. Etz. Hagan. Let's go out of here. Let's look at this. Let's get with it. All right. Third person, masculine, plural, kawal, consecutive, and perfect. How would we translate that? And tell me everything about that verb there, Abe. On the front of that verb, what's the first Hebrew letter? What does that mean? That's a conjunction. And that is and. Okay? And then we have third person, masculine, plural. Who is third person, masculine, plural? Marilyn? Third person, masculine, plural. Who is it?
They.
Very good. Very good. A plus. And they, and then we have cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And what did they do? It comes from Shema, which means to hear. Simon comes from that word. Simeon comes from that word. And what did they do? And they heard and kept on hearing. Now we have the sign of the direct object in Greek. I mean in Hebrew. And what is the sign of the direct object in Greek? Ace. And now, since you did that, tell me the grammatical rule for it. Okay. Brother Roger.
Is something our comb, but that's as far as
All right. Okay. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Okay. Come ace. And then the grammatical idea is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. And they heard, okay, a voice. A voice here is, a voice is in the place of the person of God. They heard the sound, the voice, okay, of Jehovah. All right, now it doesn't say Jehovah here, this Hathavar. We don't know how to say this word, but Hathavar means the word. Where is this used in the equivalent of the word used in the New Testament? And what is it in Greek? And what book, what verse, and what is it?
John 1:14.
Logos. All right. Logos. And it's actually whole logos in those places, isn't it? The word. Now here we have the word of the Old Testament, the Hathavar. Elohim. Elohim means what? Elohim means what?
Creator
God. Okay? And then Milhalek. Milhalek. All right. Let's look at that. That's halak is the root of it, isn't it? Halak. All right. And what does halak mean?
To go walking.
To spread yourself around. Make tracks. Make tracks. Make foot tracks. All right. Masculine singular hispael participle. Walking himself. Walking himself. Now, let's look at this word, begon. Begon. Now, look at the word begon. How about this word begon here? All right. Ba on the front of it. Base on the front of it means what, Pamela? Base. What is that on the front of a word? What is it? Okay, it's a preposition in. What is the Greek preposition for here? In. Epsilon nu. Page 137, if you want to write that down there, too. And this, of course, is page 88, the Greek preposition, if you want to write that down there. I haven't written it down there, but there it is. And then garden. What does the word garden mean? This word garden. What does the word garden mean, Marilyn?
Paradise.
Gone. Paradise. It's a guarded pleasure park. Now, they allowed sinners in paradise. Now we have sinners. We had righteous people in paradise before. Now we have sinners in paradise. And this is God's garden. He planted this garden in. All kinds of good things in there for them. Everything that they could possibly need for medication or anything is in that garden. Everything. But now they've blown it. Now they have lost paradise. Paradise lost. All right. Elohim walking himself in garden. Literally, it's not in the garden, but in garden. In garden. Liruah. Liruah. Let's look at that one. What about that? Liruah. Tell me about it. Liruah. How should you translate that? Okay, li is what? Two or four. Okay, two or four are, that's a lament. Okay. Two or four, with or by or whatever, you know. And how about ruah? What does ruah mean?
Wind.
Breath or breeze. Okay. Now, lately out there where I live, we are getting a breeze of the northwest every night almost. And it's a steady little breeze. And it cools the place off in the evening. And that's pretty nice if there wasn't all those dairies on the other side of it. It's not good that way. But this is in the breeze, in the afternoon breeze, okay? The cool of the evening in the afternoon breeze. Hayom. Hayom. Tell me about Hayom. Hayom. What about this Hayom? What's on the front of that, Pamela? What's on the front of this Hayom here? Huh? That's a definite article, isn't it? Ha is a definite article. And the word, the root of it, is yom. And what does yom mean? Huh? A 24-hour day, doesn't it? It's a 24-hour day. Now, this is in the afternoon, in the cool, or the breeze, or the breath of the afternoon. God is moving things around. Okay? Of the day, Wayit Shabi. That is what? Third person masculine singular. Well, consecutive and perfect. Hithael. So, and on the front of it is a Y. And they hid themselves and concealed themselves and kept on concealing themselves and hiding like thieves in the night. Around Bakersfield, even out there in the country where we are, now and then you'll hear a helicopter with a bright light on it just going around and trying to pick out the thieves. shine light on what we call crime busters. Okay. Now they kept on trying to conceal themselves, and God's going to shine His bright light on them. You're it. Why are you here? What are you doing here? What's going on here? You're under arrest, basically. They hid themselves, and they kept on hiding themselves, concealing themselves. And look at that word. What is the root of that word? Hava. Does the word ham come from this word? What does ham mean? Ham. What does the word ham mean? It means dark. To conceal. To hide. Secretive. Okay? Secretive. To hide. To conceal. And then we have Ha-Adam. What do we have in this word here? This is what we call a complex word. It's got something on the front of it. What's that something on the front of that? Sharon?
It's definite article.
Definite article? How do you say that in Greek?
In Greek, it would be
ho. Ho, yeah. The man, he did this. Ho, anthropos.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And the man. How do you say definite article in Greek?
That's that archon thing that I was
saying. Oh, to hristikon arthron, the definite article. Waishto, the man and his feminine man, and his wife, and the wife of him. Look at the wow on the end of that. What does that wow on the end of that tell you about this one? Ish is the root. Ishto means out of man. Okay. What is that wow on the end of that? That's in what case? What puts this in what case? The case of what?
Is it genitive?
That's the genitive case, the case of possession. This is his woman. His woman, his wife. Mipene. Pene is the root of this word. All right. Then we have a preposition on the front of this, don't we? And that preposition comes from what? Man. All right. And it means from faces, from the front, from the frontal view, from the faces. Hadavar Elohim. All right. From Jehovah Elohim. And then we have the word bitok. 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 What's betok mean? Betok. What's B on the front of that?
Preposition,
it means in. Okay. All right. Preposition, and that's in. In the middle of trees. In the middle of trees. Here's Jehovah in the middle of the trees. Of the Hagan. Hagan. Now, what do we have in the middle of that gamel there, brother?
A doggish.
What does it do here?
It causes an emphasis.
This one doubles the sound.
Mm-hmm.
This doubles. Hagan. The garden. It'll be hag gone. You've got two gammas in there, two G sounds. The garden. And the garden means what, Marilyn?
Paradise.
The guarded pleasure park. All right, 3 and verse 9. 3 and verse 9. Wayiru, Hadavar, Elohim, Ha'adam, Wayomer, Lo, Ayeka. All right, Ayeka. Now, man has put a wide barrier between himself and God, the God that loved him so much. He's put a wide barrier. And he feels like he can't get close to God anymore. Can't get close to God. Why Yeru? Why Yikra, that is. Why Yikra. And that is, and he called and kept on calling. Third person masculine singular, cow, wow, consecutive and perfect. Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? All right. What root does it come from?
To be.
All right. And what page is that on in Brown, Driver, and Briggs? 224. And 243 in Kohler and Baumgartner. Okay. Then we have the word Elohim. And Elohim means what, Brother Abe? What does Elohim mean? What does it mean? What? Well, what does it literally mean, though? What is Elohim? When you see Elohim in the Bible, Lord of Lords would be like Jehovah. That's Adonai. Then we have the word Creator here. When you see the word Elohim, think of the word Creator. Creator. All right? And then El. And El is what? What is El? El can be a preposition. It can be an adverb. And it also can be the name of God, huh? God, El. Right here, what is it? Is a preposition here. All right. El, a preposition. Ha-Adam. The mankind. All right. Said unto the mankind. Ton anthropon in Greek is the way it would be. Ton anthropon unto the man, the mankind. Now, here, when he talks to man, he's talking about all of man, woman and man. I want you to understand that. This is all of the mankind that was in the garden that he's talking to. Okay? Wyomer. Conjugate Wyomer for me. Brother Abe, can you conjugate Wyomer? This is a test tonight, by the way. See? I told you it was. Third person singular, cow, fem, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And then we have the word low. Low. Tell me about this word low there, Brother Roger.
It's the opposite of kin.
All right. Low. Tell me about low. What is low? What do we have here?
Adverb and negation?
No.
No?
Not here.
Oh.
Not here. Huh? It's a preposition. But the preposition has what on the back of it? It has a suffix, doesn't it? And that suffix is what? Third person, masculine, singular. Here we have a preposition, lameth, with a low, with a wow at the back of it, which gives it a third person, masculine, singular. To him. And he said to him. He said to him. Ayika. What does Ayika mean? Ayika. What does Ayika mean? Where you are.
So, is that third person masculine plural?
Ayika? Where are you all? Okay. Where are you all? Where are you all? Do you think God didn't know where they were? What is this? This is a question, all right, but it's not really a question, isn't it? Huh? What is it? Something so they would look inside and see where they were. God knew where they were. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. Do you think God knew where he was? And here we're talking about Jehovah Elohim. And why is Jehovah Elohim involved here, not just Elohim? Why is the word Jehovah involved? Who is Jehovah? Jehovah is the covenant God, always a covenant God. Jehovah is always the covenant God. The Redeemer covenant God. Okay? Now let's go to 3 and verse 10. (Clears throat) Maryland. Wyomer. Tell me about Wyomer. What are you doing over there? You're supposed to be over here. Yeah, Wyomer. Tell me about Wyomer. You got to go look in your book. Wyomer. What about Wyomer? You want to know all about this Hebrew? Now, this is 3 and verse 10, Wyomer. Wyomer.
Well, it's a conjunction, isn't
it? Well, the front of it is a conjunction. On the front of it, that's the while.
Yeah.
Okay, now look down below that. Masculine?
Oh, masculine, singular?
Yeah.
Cow, wow, consecutive?
Yes. Imperfect. You did really good. You got an A+ on that, even though I had to grab you over there and put you there. Don't go away now. Okay? Now, how should we translate this? All right. Who's talking here? Who's talking? That's Adam talking. All right. And he said, and now we have the word et. And again, this word et here is what? The sign of the direct object, and the equivalent in Greek would be what? Ace. All right. And he said, et. Extension and limitation of thought of verbalization. Et. Your sound. Kalika, the sound of you. All right, the sound of you, the noise of you. And that kalika, all right, kalika, kala is the root of this, isn't it? How about the word kalika? What does that cough on the back of that, what does that tell you? What does that tell you on the back of it? What case would it be in? Your voice.
David?
No.
No.
The voice of you. Genitive.
Okay.
The voice of you. The genitive. The case of possession. And he said, et, voice of you or sound of you, shamati. I have heard, first person construct, singular, cal perfect. I have heard. All right, now we have the word bagan. Bagan. Bagan means in garden. In garden. Look at that preposition on the front of that. In garden or in the pleasure park or in the paradise. Okay? And then we have the word Waira. And I became afraid. I began to shudder and tremble, and I began to be terrorized. Ki. Because. Erom. Look at that word, Erom. That because I became because crafty, sinful, sly, deceitful, thief in the night, with darkness for clothing, the cloak of a sinner. I was clothed with the cloak of a sinner. I was clothed as a thief in the night. Anoki, I. And I hid, look at this one. Why chave? And I hid myself. Look at that. I kept on hiding myself. First person, construct singular, nifel, while consecutive imperfect. And I hid myself. Thieves always use darkness to cover their sins, don't they? And their dastardly deeds. Adam put a barrier between himself and God. Adam put a barrier between himself and God. I'll share a little mythology I did with my morning class, but only a couple of you are here. According to Muhammad, how tall was Adam when he created him? I'm not talking about the Bible, I'm talking about Muhammad. How tall was Adam when he created him? Brother Roger.
Seven heavens.
He was. He stood on the earth. This is according to Muhammad now. Of course, he didn't know anything about cosmology or anything. Here's the earth right here. And evidently, he must have thought the earth was real big. Real big. Okay? Compared to the solar system. Evidently, he did, because he made a terrible mistake here. All right, Adam is standing on the earth. All right, let's just go put him with his leg right there like that. Adam is standing on the earth, and his head is where?
Seventh heaven.
In the seventh heaven. Just think about that for a while. Just with what we know about heavens. Muhammad thought there were seven heavens, and he named all the seven heavens and where they were and who occupied them and all of that. But the Bible teaches how many heavens are there? What's the Bible teach? Three heavens, okay? Now the first heaven is what?
Atmosphere.
The atmosphere. The second heaven is what?
Cosmos.
That is where the stars and everything are. And above that is the abode of God or heaven. Now, let's just take an idea about this. Now, we have the little old tiny earth out here compared to the solar system. Now, you have to realize that Adam, if he's tall enough for his head and his upper torso to go into heaven, how tall is he? Millions of miles tall. Okay? And he's standing on a pea, which is the earth in all reality. And it says that he was up here. His head was up here looking into heaven and hearing all the angels talk. And he was real nosy. And he was interfering with the angel business. And so the angels complained to God. They said, he is really causing us trouble. He's listening to everything that we say. We have a trouble with Adam. What are you going to do with Adam? Well, he said, I'll just make him smaller. And so then he became a little man that walked in the garden here. Pretty fantastic story, isn't it? That's what you call a tall tale. A real tall tale. All right? A real tall tale. Now, pretty hard to hide himself if he was millions of miles tall. Just think about that for a minute. Is that even possible? According to what we know about the universe and the cosmos right now, that's not possible, is it? One thing I'll tell you about the Bible. What the Bible teaches about creation, what the Bible teaches about medicine, what the Bible teaches about disease will never go contrary to modern science. We know God told Abraham to circumcise his sons on what day? The eighth day. Why? We know now why. Because the blood begins to clot on the eighth day. Wow. Wow. How ingenious for God to do that, because God knew it all the time, didn't he? All right. Why didn't God want you to eat pig meat?
Because of
all diseases that the pigs carry with them. Okay? Pigs carry a lot of disease. What caused almost the decimation and the almost genocide of all of the Indians in the Americas was pigs that carried the diseases and carried them on. They carried everything. So the Lord said, don't do that. Besides that, I'll tell you something else about pigs. You shouldn't ever eat anything that's smarter than you are. Pigs are very intelligent. All right. How about what else? That the blood of mankind does not come through the woman, but through the man. Is that scientifically correct? Yes. Okay. Let's go back and look at the Quran for a minute. According to Muhammad, all life came from the man only. The woman was just the incubator. when the man cohabited with a woman, he put all the life in her, because the woman had no life in her. All of life came from the sperm of the man. Now, is that medically true? No. It's not medically true at all, is it? Period. Not medically true at all. Just a few of these things. How about the cosmos? How many Earths are there? How many Earths are there in the cosmos? In our, how many Earths are there in our solar system?
I'm going
to say
one.
One Earth. No, one Earth. Okay. How many Earths did Muhammad say there were? Seven. He liked seven a lot. Yes, he did. He liked seven. Okay. Liked seven a lot. Just looking at some things, okay? We when we look at the Bible, we need to look at it so we can defend our faith. Now, if you're Islamic, you've got real problems. You've got to do a whole lot of that by faith and sheer ignorance in all reality. Because if you studied any of this, you couldn't do that. All right? Now, let's go to 3 and verse 11. 3 and verse 11, and then we'll finish there for tonight. Wayomer, me, Higid, Lekia, Lika, Ki, Arom, Ata, Hamim, Haetz, Asher, Teze, We, Tita. You took. Wait a minute, let's get this right here. Su Yi Tik Ka Le Vilti Ako Memanu Achelita. And he said and kept on saying, third person master, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect, me. Me is what? Me. That's what we call an interrogative. Okay? That's an interrogative there. Me. Basically an interrogative pronominal adjective, if you want to break it all the way down. Me. And what does this me mean? It comes from ma in Hebrew, doesn't it? Ma is another interrogative, isn't it? And what is ma? What is ma?
Yes, that's the...
What?
What is this?
What? What? So here it is not what, but it is what? Who? Who? Third person master senior hifel perfect. Who? He has caused you to know. He has caused you to have known. Who he has caused you to have known to you. Look at that word lika there. Lika. What do you have here, lika? What's that word? Rashi, you know about that word? What's on the front of that word? All right, that's a preposition. All right. And then we have what? A second person pronoun here, don't we? Second person. To you. And then he says, ki, that, or because, arom, naked, vicious, wicked, diseased, a thief, imperfect, crafty, deceitful, you are Ata. Who told you you have become deceitful? Who did it? What happened here to mankind that it didn't have before? What did he have, Sharon?
Their eyes were open, they had wisdom, they knew.
And they had what?
They had knowledge.
They knew good from bad now, didn't they? Or for they only knew good. Now, what happened inside of them?
Shame.
Yeah, shame.
They knew that they were...
They were dressed in shame instead of glory, weren't they? They were dressed in shame instead of glory. And what else? Conscience. What does conscience mean? Conscience. To know together. To know together what? Conscience. You have a bad conscience. You have what? Your conscience is doing what? It's condemning you. So their conscience was condemning them. Naked you are. from the tree. All right? From the tree, ha'etz. From him, the tree, from which I commanded you. I commanded you. I have commanded you. I have commanded you. First person construct singular, PL perfect. Here we have a levialty. Levialty. Look at that word. To not. To actively not. Continue to not. To eat. Akal. That means to what? What's this word akal mean here? It's a cal infinitive construct, a call.
I know it comes from that call to eat, to want to eat.
Yeah, to gobble down. To eat from him. Have you eaten? Have you eaten? Or you have eaten? Second person, masculine singular, cal perfect. You have eaten. God's asking him a question. From that tree that I told you not to eat from him, did you eat? And then a man does what? Blame shifts. Here we have the first case of blame shifting in the Bible. The first case of blame shifting in 3 and verse 12. Do you want to do this verse? And then quit for tonight? Okay, Wayomer. All right. Ha-Adam. Ha-Isha. Isha. Isher, that is. Asher. Natata, Imadi, Hu, Natina, Li, Min Ha'etz. Why a call? And he said and kept on saying, the man, Ha'adam, the mankind, Ha'isha. Ha ish shah. That word, that shin there, brother, it's got a dot in the middle of it. What is that?
Again, a doubling.
Okay, it's a doubling. It's a dogish that doubles it. Okay. All right, it doubles it. Ha ish shah.
Adam was trying to make a point.
Yeah, Adam was trying to make a point. The woman which Asher. Which natata you have given second person masculine singular cal perfect you have given with me imadi with me she has given third person feminine singular cal perfect she had given and then what is this word li there for brother. Tell me about Lee for a minute.
So it's got a preposition.
It's a preposition with a what?
With the dogish.
Okay.
So it's doubled.
Lee.
And so it's to me.
Okay. What else? It's a preposition with a suffix on it, isn't it? Okay, and that suffix is what?
It's a pronoun.
It's dative singular. All right, dative singular. Dative singular. Preposition with a dative singular pronoun. And then man. Man is what? That's a preposition. Page 580 through 582. Ha-etz. Ha on the front of that is a definite article. Page 206. And then tree. You'll find the root of that. On page 781. Now look at what it says here. Wa akel. Wa akel. Wa on the front of that is what?
Conjunction.
That's a conjunction. And then what else? First person construct singular cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. What happened here, Sharon?
He kept on eating.
All right. I kept on eating. How much did he eat? So the tree was gone. All the fruit on the tree was gone. Have you ever had something that tasted so good that you just stretched your stomach out? You just couldn't hardly stop eating it? Huh? All right, that's what happened here. This tasted so good. The joy of sin. I preached a sermon in 1999, The Joy of Sin, but the pain of correction. The joy of sin. They were really happy. Can you imagine how long did it take them to eat this tree up? Just think about a gingerbread house or a gingerbread tree or a See's candy tree. And they're just eating all this up and all this, and they're eating and eating and eating, and just gorging themselves and gorging themselves. This is the first case of what?
Gluttony.
Gluttony in the Bible. First place of gluttony in the Bible. All right. Do you have any questions about this? We went from 3:6 through 12. We got old Adam caught in the garden. Caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. You know, they were trying to trap monkeys, and monkeys are pretty smart, aren't they? They were trying to trap monkeys one time, and they were really having trouble getting them to go in these traps. So they put a jar out there. This one guy thought, now, he put his hand in the jar and tried to pick out, and he couldn't get his hand out of the jar. He said, man, this is the way to get these monkeys. So he put the jar up there, and they nailed this jar down. I mean, they really nailed this jar down. And they they put something in the jar that the monkey wanted. And if the monkey put his hand in there and grabbed hold of it, he couldn't get his hand out of the jar. So what did he do?
Break the jar?
No. He just stayed there, and they got the monkey. Because he wouldn't turn loose of what he wanted. He would not turn loose of it. And that's what happened here. They went to this tree in this garden that was not theirs. Anything, whether they took a leaf off of this tree or a fruit off of it, whatever was on that tree, and I think this tree was delicious from every part of the tree. Have you ever tasted cinnamon? It's just really, you know, I mean, it can be very strong. But it was a tree like that was, everything about the tree was good, tasty. But it wasn't theirs. It was not their tree. And everything about the tree, every time they ate something, they condemned themselves more. Because this was the tree of knowledge. So they didn't just taste the fruit, did they? They just kept on eating the fruit, and just kept on eating the fruit, and kept on eating the fruit until their bellies just were bulging. They're bigger than they were before. They're not going to be able to hide very well. The first thieves in the Bible. The first thieves. These are our mother and father that have become thieves. This is the mother and father of the human race. And the first thing that man does when God calls his attention to his problem, what does he do? He said, it's your fault. It's your fault. Not mine. If you hadn't given me that woman, I would have never done this. Would have Adam ever sinned?
Well, you have volition, so yeah.
Yes. He could have. Mm-hmm. How long would he have stayed in that garden and looking at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not touch it? That was in the middle of the garden. Okay? How long? What was Adam supposed to be doing when Eve were messing around with the tree and the devil?
Protect
her. He was supposed to have been protecting her. Was he doing his job? Mm-hmm. Was he doing his job? Was Adam doing it? No, he wasn't doing his job. So he was guilty on all counts, wasn't he? First of all, he was on the throne. And he told him to guard this garden against what? Against what? Do you think old Adam knew about Satan? About Lucifer? And everything that he had done in the past? that at one time Eden was Lucifer's throne room, and now it was his throne room. And now that he was the caretaker of the whole universe, starting at Earth, planet Earth. Isn't that beautiful? But what did he do? He allowed his wife, he permitted his wife to go over there and commune with a deceitful Satan. Of course, Satan did what? How did he get to the woman?
He called her.
Yeah. He became a confidence man. He conned her. And she was conned, wasn't he? Was she deceived? Yeah. What did she say when this, in Genesis 3 and verse 1? What did Satan do? First of all, Satan began to do what? Yeah. Did God say this? Did God? He was using the Word of God. He was using the Word of God against God. And he tells the woman, has God told you you couldn't eat from the tree of the garden? Oh, she said, no. We can eat from every tree of the garden except for that one. Well, God's just being selfish because he knows that when you eat of that tree, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's woman and man going to be like? You're going to be like God. You'll know good from evil. Huh? I'm going to be smart. And he said, doesn't it look good? It was delightful to the eyes. And don't you think it would be good to eat? Is there anything else in the garden that's so beautiful as this? Any other fruit more beautiful than this fruit? Boy, she said it is good looking. Boy, it looks good. Maybe she smells it. Maybe she smells it. Smells like seed candy, you know. Or something real good. And so what does she do right off? She goes and eats it. And she keeps on eating, and she keeps on eating, and she keeps on eating. And then she gives to her husband and keeps on giving to him. And he keeps on eating, and he keeps on eating. And finally, now when they have guilty conscience, they have a bad conscience, and then they hear what? What do they hear?
Somebody walking.
They hear Jehovah Elohim, the sound of him walking in the garden. And then what happens to them? They become terrified. Terrified. They're full of terror. Why are they full of terror?
They realize what they've done.
Now, instead of saying, Lord Jehovah, what are we going to do? Look what we've done. What are we going to do? What do they do? They began a false religious system. And the false religious system, they begin to cover their sins. Because now, they're naked. They know they're naked, so they cover up their genital area with a not very comfortable loincloth. But they did it, didn't they? That's man-made religion. I said this morning in my class this morning, hell's a terrible place, isn't it? Hell's a terrible place. But you know, old Muhammad made it even more terrifying. Scared them. Terrified his disciples. Telling them what was going to happen to them. And naming their names sometimes for 10, 12, 15, 18 hours at a time. They're just sitting here terrified, crying and bawling. Guilty conscience. You know what? Jesus had already come and died for their sins. Did you know that? There was no reason for them to be terrified. Jesus died for our sins. He had already come. This was 600 and something A.D. Jesus came what? He died around 28, 30 A.D. on the cross of Calvary. And the whole God of the universe, he had given his life for us. So we have a free gift. Free entrance into paradise. It's easy. Just believe and walk in. Just believe. Believe and follow me. They didn't do that, did they? No. They didn't do it. All right, we'll start back there on 3 and verse 13. 3 and verse 13 next week. Do you have any questions? Brother Mike, do you have any questions?
I want you to read a page.
Okay, I'll after the class.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Roger? Pamela? Maryland? Yes, no? You got a question? What kind of questions do you have?
Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Abe, got a question? Sharon, no question.
What would have happened if they would have did what you said and said, Lord, we really made a mistake and confessed? Do you think there would have been any?
That would have been a whole lot more honest. But is that human nature? The first thing they did was blame shift. What's the first thing you do? Blame shift. Isn't it? Yeah. That's what they should have done. If they've been honest about it. Now, when the Lord calls us with His Spirit right now, what does He want us to do? Homologia. What's that mean? Homologia. Homologia. What does that word in Greek mean?
Human logic.
Homologia.
Same something.
To say the same thing that God already knows. What do? When the Lord convicts you, you hear the preaching of His Word, and the Lord convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, what do? Say, I'm a sinner, Lord. I am a sinner. I am undone. Save my soul. That's what they should have said in the garden. But they wanted to run first. They ran first. How many times do we run from the Lord instead of going to Him? You're not ever going to be satisfied and happy until you confess. Homologia means to say the same thing He already knows. God knows you're a sinner. God knows you're a rat and scoundrel. You need to say that I am a sinner, for I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we need to do. Let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You right now. Our God. Our Savior. We place our lives in Your hands. We ask You to forgive us for our failure. Help us this week to go out and witness for people. Help us to go out and do something eternal this week. Help us to lead somebody in our families to the Lord. Lead some stranger to the Lord. And then as we lead them, help us to guide them and teach them all things that You've given us to teach them. Help us to glorify You with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.